think that right there just confirmed it. I'm gonna stir up some emotions here. And maybe embarrass someone. Once upon a time, we had an organ here in the church. I don't know if you remember that. And when we came, there was no one that played, and so the church decided that we would sell it. We had some folks who were interested, but no one wanted to pay the price we wanted, because, you know, that's how it is when you try to sell things. I'll offer you pennies. But one guy decided, he goes to a church down the road, way down the road, but he decided that he would like to buy it and have it for their church. I don't really know why. No one plays it at their church either, but I didn't care. And so we sold it. And there's a man in this church. It was a big deal in a moving company. And at the time, I don't think he attended as much as he does now. We didn't know each other very well. We were just here for a little bit. And out of the goodness of his heart, he offered to help move the organ to the other church. And he's helped me do a lot of other things that he didn't want to since then. We got it on the truck with the help of his employees, and we had to drive to the other spot, and it was an hour or so, and he's about as outgoing as I am, and at the time we didn't really know each other very well, and so we tried, both of us, I believe, to talk as best as we could, and we ran out of small talk very quickly. Maybe 3.5. I don't even think we're to Brickton by the time. We ran out of things to say, and so for the majority of the ride, we sat in silence. And for me, that was okay, and I think it was okay for him as well, because we're still friends, I hope, to this day. For some, silence is awkward. For others, it's nice. But it can be uncomfortable when you... So I don't know why, but the men in this church, we're all very quiet folk. I don't know what the deal is with that. Yeah, it's what I expected. This is good. But it can be uncomfortable silence for some folks. The Bible says in Psalm 46 and 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And there are two ways that a person can preach. There's topical and there's expository. Expository is what I like to do. What we're doing on Wednesday, for example, you take a passage of scripture and you kind of go through it and see what it says. To us today, topical, you kind of focus on a subject and you maybe jump around and use verses to back up what your points are. And today is, I guess, topical, not tropical. That would be different. We live in a world that can't shut up, can't stop talking. Everything's just all the time. We're just, you open your Facebook or whatever you got, and it's just ads all the time. Just ads. Videos. They're just sharing stuff and just nonsense. There's stuff always, and it's so loud and fast and just all kinds of stuff. We live in a world that you just can't stop talking. We are afraid of the silence, and it makes us awkward. Everything in the world is geared toward the extroverts among us. If you ever looked for a job, everybody wants you to be friendly and outgoing. For whatever. You're working in a stock room. Who cares? Who cares if you're friendly and outgoing? People think those are the same thing, but you can be friendly and quiet. You can be outgoing and rude. It's not the same thing. They don't work, you know. We live in a society that prizes the ability to talk or to fill in the awkward silence. And People who can carry conversations are often more valued than those who can't. Silence makes us uncomfortable. Behold. I don't know how long ago. Some of us, the introverts among us, are laughing. The other ones look uncomfortable. We know. This is where we live. Oh, where am I? But the problem with everything geared toward those unlike me is that we're always talking. Talking, and nobody's ever listening. We used to value silence. You know, the strong, silent type is the man that everyone was looking for once upon a time. Well, now everyone is expected to be a salesman. And one of my favorite literary characters of all time, his name was Matthew, and he was so quiet. The book that he's found in, the most attention that he drew to himself was when he died. It said, for the first time, shy, quiet Matthew Cuthbert was a person of central importance. The white majesty of death had fallen on him and set him apart as one crown. The most attention he ever got in his life was when he passed away. And silence is golden, they say, unless you have children. And then that means they're probably up to something. But it's in the silence that we will often find God. Psalm 46, we read, says, be still and know that I am God. Being still literally means, in this context, to take your hands off of everything and to relax, to calm down. I don't know if you ever told anyone to calm down, but it never goes well. Calm down and be quiet. And we like to be hands-on people and manage our own lives, but God is God and we are but His servants. And if we are going to follow Him, there are plenty of verses in the Bible that tells us that sometimes we just need to learn to be quiet. And you guys are doing a very good job at it this morning. Nailing it. Couldn't ask for a better... Do you amen something like this? Or do you just... But if we're going to follow God, there are moments and there are times in our lives when we need to learn to just be quiet and to step back and let Him work and let Him speak. Ecclesiastes 3:7 says there's a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Our words are powerful, and we can get carried away with mindless talking and end up maybe tearing things apart that we were never meant to. I don't know if you've ever been around people like that, that just kind of bring that talking out of you. And you find yourself saying things that maybe you had no intention on saying or of saying. If you're not careful, you can end up saying a lot of things you don't mean to, or you don't even mean. You just find words coming out. And the Bible says there's a time for silence and a time to speak. And normally, we notice the time for silence after we've spoken. Ever do that? Oh, I should have been quiet then. Instead, I said something I shouldn't have said. Or I crossed the line I didn't mean to go. Or I've gone too far. Or, you know, I should have been quiet then, but I wasn't. We missed a moment, and But if we could do it before and realize that before, you know, things would probably be a lot better. There is a time to speak and there's a time not to. And just because you can doesn't mean that you need to or should. And sometimes we just talk to talk. Sometimes we're afraid of quiet and so we'll just kind of babble about nothing. I've got family members like that. Just talk and talk and talk and never say anything. Some of you know someone like that as well. I'm not talking about my wife. She's as bad as I am at not talking. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The more we talk just for the sake of talking, the more danger there is in producing vain and profane babblings and just speaking nonsense. I don't know, you know, if you've ever been talking and think, what am I even saying? Why am I, you know, talking right now? How do I make it stop? I've done it. I'm doing it right now. Have I crossed any lines? What am I? Maybe I should stick the one written down. But you don't, because it'll be awkward, and awkward silence is awkward. And so we'd rather fill time with foolish talking instead. There's a value in that awkward silence. There is a famous story in the book of Luke. You've probably heard it before from me if you've been around. And especially in the month of December, Luke chapter 1, it says, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and sent to thee to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. That means quiet. And not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So this guy, Zacharias, he was a priest, and part of his job was to speak. Part of his job was to pray aloud. If you came here, and I got up here and did not talk to you at all, well, that wouldn't go very well. Part of his job was to speak. Part of his job was to pray aloud, to perform these ceremonies. And then an angel shows up and tells him that his wife is going to have a baby, and she's quite experienced in years. And he says, you know, how's that going to happen? We're old. And he's kind of filled with doubt. How is this ever going to take place? And the angel Gabriel says, I'll prove it to you. You're not going to be able to speak until this baby is born, because you didn't believe what I said to you. And so Zacharias, he is unable to speak, and he comes out of the temple, and all of a sudden he can't talk. That would be awkward. He knows how to. It's not like he grew up and never learned how to speak. He knows how to speak. His brain's telling his mouth how to do it, but words aren't coming out. Nothing is coming out. He knows how, but he can't. He did it before he went into the temple. He did it in there, but now he can't. That is incredibly uncomfortable. How are you going to explain this to people? They're going to think you're crazy. You can't explain it anyway, because you can't talk. It's frustrating. You want to do it. You know the words. You know how to do it, but you can't do it. And that's got to be awkward. But who brought this awkwardness on? It was the angel. It was God who brought this on. He made it happen. And sometimes God will put us into awkward places to learn something. We just need to learn sometimes to be quiet and to listen and learn what it is that he's trying to teach us. Because it's in these awkward times that we grow. When you think about it, when do you grow the most physically? You're a teenager, right? Middle school, high school, those early years. When are you the most awkward? If you think I'm awkward now, you should have seen me as a 14-year-old. I don't even know. That's when you're the most awkward, when you're growing. They used to say in Bible college that during the test, the teacher is silent. And in that silence, as awkward as it is, as uncomfortable as it is, you find out how much you know. You find out how close you are to Jesus and how strong your faith is and how strong your belief in him is. You come to know him, as weird as it sounds, through the awkward silence. And it was through that silence, Zacharias, I know his wife might have been okay with it. I don't know what Zacharias was like in his marriage, but he wasn't able to speak. And through that whole awkward silence, he goes from doubt to believing. And God reveals his plan to him. And he shows him some things. And he performs a miracle in his family. And his whole outlook changes. And I would say that he draws closer to God through this silence, the awkwardness. The miracle takes place. It says in verse 59, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Everyone just decided, because his dad can't speak, we're going to name him for him. He's been waiting many years, so we're going to name him after him, because he's probably not going to have another one. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they think that Elizabeth's crazy. She's taking advantage of the fact that Zacharias can't speak. No one has said. They said unto her, there is none of their kindred, there's no one in your family that is called by this name. Where did you come up with this name? You know, we don't do that so much anymore. But it says, and they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And then Zacharias, what do you want to call this boy? Is your wife saying crazy things over here? John. What kind of a name is John? And he asked for a writing table and wrote, his name shall be John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And it was through that awkward silence that Zacharias and Elizabeth's prayer is answered. His faith is restored. His miracle is born. And sometimes we just need to be quiet and let God work. And we can get so busy talking and making noise that we miss out on what God wants to say and do in our lives because we're afraid of silence. Again, the Bible says, be still and know. And it is when we are still, it's when we are quiet, that we learn who he is. Well, if you're not convinced, here's another story. Mark 4. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the back part of the ship, and asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The disciples, they've been with Jesus for a bit by now. They'd seen some incredible things. They'd seen him do remarkable things, healings and miracles and all sorts of stuff. But when Jesus calmed the storm, when Jesus said to the storm, peace, be still, something started to click in their minds, in their hearts. And I said, who is this guy that we've been following? Who is this? I mean, what kind of man is he that the winds and the sea obey him? What is going on here? And it was when they were silent, when there was quiet, when there was peace, that they started to get a revelation of who Jesus was. Really was. They'd seen to do all these other things, but it was when the silence came that they started, you know, who is this? Who is this guy that we've been following? Don't be afraid of the quiet times. I know some of us, we don't have a lot of them. But there are times in our lives where it feels like God's not doing anything. And God's not speaking, and God's not working, and I'm not hearing anything, and I'm praying, and I'm fasting, and I'm reading the Word, and nothing seems to be happening here. There's times when we go through these awkward silences. Don't be afraid of those times. It's after the storm. It's after the noise. It's in the peace and the quiet that follows that we start to see who he really is. And if we're always talking, if God puts us in one of these places and we're just talking and talking and talking, always making noise, ever living in a state of chaos, afraid of silence, afraid of the quiet, afraid of the peaceful times, we won't get what he's trying to do. We won't get what he's trying to say. We'll miss out on so much. We need times of quiet. We need times of peace. We need still times in our lives where he will never be able to speak to us or show us who he is. When we were on AIM, we were just go. And then there was probably a week or two where it was like, we got nothing scheduled. Everything's just laid back. And the missionaries said to us, be thankful for the quiet times. And I remember that. As you go through seasons, sometimes you're so busy, you can't think, you can't breathe, and then there comes the time of quiet. And we need those times to recharge and refresh. We don't need to always be going all the time. We need times of quiet, or we will get burned out and we will get frustrated and angry. Joshua 6 and 10 says, Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. This is when Joshua and Israel are marching around Jericho. And Joshua told them to walk and not to make a sound. Why? Because we have a tendency to talk ourselves out of what God wants us to do. Can you imagine? They didn't have any weapons. They didn't have an army, really. They didn't know what they were doing. They were just born. Most of these people were just born in the desert. They don't know anything about anything. They don't have a grow anything. They got up in the morning, they picked their food off the ground, and they ate it. And then did it again the next day. They didn't know how to do much of anything. We're going to take this city. We don't know how to fight. We don't know how to do anything. We're going to take this city. And they got to walk. God tells them to walk around it. And can you imagine the things going through their mind? Like, this is crazy. Why are we walking around the city? This is foolish. This isn't going to do anything. If they were allowed to speak, I'm sure these thoughts would come out. I could have stayed home and walked around my tent. This is ridiculous. Why did I come here? Why? Man, the person in front of me is so slow. What are we doing here? This isn't going to do anything. Walking around, we look foolish. And then God will call us and tell us to do something. I can't go there because of this. And we'll talk ourselves out of it. I can't pray for them. I can't witness to them because of this and this and that and the other thing. And we'll just kind of talk our way out of what God wants to do in our lives. We make excuses and we don't let God lead us because we get so busy saying things. And God called Jonah to Nineveh and he ran. And it wasn't until he went through a storm and was thrown overboard and found himself in a dark place in the bottom of the ocean in the belly of a fish for 3 days. In the quiet before he realized, maybe I should do what God's calling me to do. Samuel, when did God call him? In the middle of the night. Gideon, he was hiding in the middle of nowhere, alone. Jacob wrestled with an angel at the night while everyone else was sleeping. David was out in the field alone when he was called to come in and be anointed. You don't think it was awkward walking around an entire city with your whole country and not saying a word? That in itself is a miracle. You ever try to go anywhere with anyone? Not talk? But all of them went. Like, you ever try to walk through the woods with your kids? Like, maybe we'll see some animals. No, we're not going to see anything because they won't stop talking. They're so loud. They're kicking everything. They're throwing stuff. They're blah, 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 blah. Lasts about 4 seconds of silence. And these guys walked around a city in silence for days. That's a miracle. And through that awkward silence, through that walking in quiet, they found who God was, and he showed them who he was. He showed them his strength and his power and his provision. They saw how strong he was. They saw his might. He gave them the city, and he started to fulfill his promise and his word that he'd given to them. But it wasn't until they learned to stop talking for a little bit. If we want to see his word fulfilled in our lives and his promise fulfilled, we cannot be afraid of these quiet times that we go through. We can't be afraid of the awkward silence. So many times we run when things get uncomfortable, but it's in the quiet that he speaks. And another story, Israel, they've just left Egypt and God has delivered them and the whole 10 plagues and all that. And they've come to the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army, they've come after them. And the sea's in front of them, the army's behind. They're kind of stuck. And the army, they're upset. They lost their firstborn because of these guys, and they've given up their prized possessions, their jewelry, their whatever, just to get rid of them. And Israel finds himself in an uncomfortable place, and they start panicking. They start freaking out because that's what you would do. That's what I would do. I've panicked over much less. I'm sure you have as well, and whether you want to admit it or not. But awkwardness can do that to people. Uncomfortableness can do that to people. Cause us to panic, cause us to freak out a bit. And some of us, you know, we live in it. This is where we reside, in the uncomfortableness and the awkwardness. And some people can't handle it. The pressure's too much. So they start panicking. And, you know, why are we here? We should have stayed in Egypt. This is foolish. We're going to die. And I hate everything. Going on. And Exodus 14, that's not it. I guess I didn't put that one in here. Exodus 14 and 13 says, "And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians who you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Moses says, you know what, everybody, you need to calm down. You need to be still. You need to be quiet. You need to just close your mouth. And you're just, it's going. You need to watch what God is going to do. You need to watch what's going to happen. And he parts the Red Sea, and the army follows. The sea, you know, collapses and wipes out the entire army, and Israel is delivered once and for all from Egypt. But they had to calm down first. They found themselves in an uncomfortable situation. They got the awkward down, but they needed to be quiet. They needed to let God work. If you want him to work in our lives, there are times we just need to stop. There are times we just need to breathe and calm down and be quiet and step aside and let him work. As awkward as that is for us, as hard as that is, as difficult as it is, there are times we just need to step aside and say, God, here you go. And let him do it. Don't try to do it for him. Either he does it or you do it. Those are the options. And through the awkward silence, we see him work and we find peace and we see his promises come to pass. One more story. 1 Kings 19. This is one of my favorite Bible characters, Elijah. Elijah was an emotional wreck. He was all over the place. He was like highs and lows, and just God sending fire from heaven. That, I'm the only one. I'm going to die. Kill me, God. I don't want to do it anymore. He was all over. I appreciate that about him. But it says in 1 Kings 19:9, he said, he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. I am the only one, God. I am the only one serving you, and they seek my life to take it away. God, I'm the only one. I don't know, no one else has ever felt like that before, I'm sure. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Elijah finds himself in a cave, and he makes this cave his home, and he waits for God. Elijah, in this story, he was so depressed that he was willing to give up his calling and even his life, and he asked God to, you know, take him. And when God finally came and speaks to Elijah, it wasn't to yell at him, it wasn't to tell him what to do, but to ask him a question. He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? His answer, Elijah both brags about how faithful he was, and he sounds depressed too. He's all over. Oh, I've been so jealous for you. I've been so passionate about you and your word, God. And I'm the only one left, though. They're all against me. He says, I'm the only one left. And he makes it look as though every last Jew in the northern kingdom of Israel has turned against Elijah and the Lord, when it was just one woman, Jezebel, who wanted to kill him. And I'm sure, you know, you've probably felt like that before. God, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that cares. I'm the only one that's trying to serve you. And so God decides to show him something to snap him out of this funk that he's in, this depression that he's in. And so God sends a wind, and the wind is so strong that it breaks the rocks. We've had some strong winds here, but I've never seen the rocks break. Trees, maybe. Other things, but rocks, I've never seen them break from the wind. It breaks up the mountain. It's a powerful wind. The Bible says that he wasn't in the wind. You can imagine how loud that wind would be. And then he sends an earthquake. And that shakes everything. And that would be terrifying to be in a cave when there's an earthquake. A man could die in a cave with an earthquake. But God wasn't in the earthquake, the Bible says. And then he sends a fire. And Elijah knows fire. He's called fire down from heaven on the altar. And clearly God's in the fire. We're Pentecostal, I think. We like the fire. We like to talk about fire. Surely God will be in the fire. But God wasn't in the fire. And after all these incredible things are done, it gets quiet. And there's a still, small, quiet voice. It's just been through this crazy windstorm, this earthquake and fire. Expected to hear from God in those things. But he didn't. And that's got to be uncomfortable. That's got to be a little bit awkward. When you expect God to speak and he does, you know, I'm going to go to church and God's going to, you know, he's going to do something, he's going to speak to me. Or I'm going to go to this event, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to listen to whatever, and God's just going to speak to me. And then maybe sometimes he doesn't, and it's uncomfortable. I'm like, well, what have I done wrong? You know, And here is Elijah questioning, you know, his calling, everything he's done, everything he's ever known, his whole life. And then God doesn't even speak to him in the way that he expects him to. It says, after the fire, there was a still, small voice. In the quiet and in the stillness, God speaks to Elijah. And it's in that awkward silence that we will find the voice of God. We will find Jesus. We spend all of our lives making noise and chasing sound and big events and camp meetings and crusades and all these things. And yes, he can speak and he can call in those events. He did move in the fire for Elijah before. But he also calls and he also speaks to us in our bedroom. When we're driving the car by ourselves, or when we're in the prayer room, or we're around the altar in a little service, in a little church, in a little province, in a very big country. Maybe we're the only one, it feels like, but he can speak to us in that quiet. Thankfully, we're often quiet here. God can speak at any moment. Most of my most impactful times in the presence of God, the times that have kept me going, have been moments alone, away from the noise, away from people talking and the clatter and chatter of the world. It was a moment in my bedroom when I was 19, struggling with my father's death, feeling sorry for myself, not unlike Elijah. And I just got down and prayed. I said, God, I need you to work. I need you to. I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of fighting this stuff. I need you to move in my life. I don't want to carry this burden around anymore. And I was there by myself. I was the only one home. And God's presence, I just felt it come in and lifted that off of me. I haven't been angry about it since. And if you knew me before, you know I was pretty angry about it. There were times when we were youth pastors in Ontario. We lived in the basement of the church, and you want to talk about being awkward? That's awkward. Living in the basement of the church. Sometimes they're like, what are we here for? What are we doing? And other times, I just went to praying by myself in that basement at a big old pool table that came with the church. It wasn't a church when they bought it. They couldn't get rid of it. No one would take it. It was too big. It would stay there for a while. We were praying around that. And God just working and God stepping in. And just moments by myself. Before we left Benin, the last night we stayed there, I went up on the roof and I prayed. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it was these moments that God speaks, God works. It's in the awkward silence that He speaks. If we spend all of our time speaking, all of our time talking, all of our time making noise, yes, there is a time, the Bible says there is a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. There is a time for us to make a lot of noise. There's a time to praise. There's a time to hit the cymbals and sing the songs and make noise. There is times to do that. I'm not saying it's one or the other. There's a time for both. We said that at the beginning, but I feel like I've been harping on one more than the other. There is a time for both. But if we spend all of our time doing one or the other, we're going to miss it when God's trying to do. We spend all of our time chasing the wind and the earthquake and the fire, we're going to miss that still small voice. He said, be still and know that I am God. It starts with us being still, letting Him speak, and then we will know it. Like Zacharias through the quiet, you will see Him work, and like the disciples through the peace, you start to get an understanding of who He is. And like Joshua and the children of Israel, don't talk yourself out of His will or His blessing or His purpose for your life. See His promise come to pass through the quiet. Like Moses, through standing still, you see His provision. And like Elijah, through the quiet, you hear His voice. So this morning, I'm not expecting there to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and a big flood to the altar and everyone making a lot of noise, because that would go against everything we talked about. But I wonder if we could take some time this morning and spend some time in prayer. Let God speak. Let's make a vow. I'm going to take some time in my life, in my day. I know some of us, we got all kinds of things going on. We got 4 children. We got a dog. We got other things happening. Finding time for quiet doesn't always come as easy for some of us as it does for others. We can just make a vow to God, I'm going to find some time every day. I'm going to take some time in silence. Silence the things around us, the loudness, the news, the media, our cell phones, all the things that we put all our attention in to fill our time. Take some time, God. I'm going to get alone with You. Let Him speak. Let Him work. It's in that silence. And there are times that God's going to bring it on because we're not making time for it. It's in the silence that we find Him. We can't be afraid of it. We can't find it too uncomfortable that we don't want to. You know what I'm saying? Does this make sense to anyone other than the introverts? I think most of us are today. That's interesting. My wife's gonna sing. She's gonna find a place and pray today. God's trying to work in our lives. But we can be so busy filling our time with everything else. Listening to this, listening to that, talking to this, talking about that, or whatever. We just fill it. There's no space for God to speak. Time stopping right now. But some of the old guys, the old preachers, they were so effective because they made time to be alone with God regularly. They'd go out in the woods, they'd go fishing, whatever, just to be alone. We're so connected all the time, we have no quiet in our life anymore. So, all right, I'm going to stop. Let's pray today. Let's make that vow. God, I'm going to make some time. I'm going to quiet all the other noise, let You speak. And I'm going to stop so that You can. Let's pray today.